From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. To begin today's program, we invite your attention to an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, part of a series in which Dr. Cairns answers various questions that are frequently raised as Christians endeavor to live for the Lord and be a witness to the unsaved. Dr. Cairns is the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and his long experience in the pastoral and teaching ministry will help to provide insights into areas of concern for both believers and unbelievers. A DVD containing all of these interviews is available at no charge from Let the Bible Speak. Ordering information will be given at the close of this broadcast. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to answer the question, are imprecatory prayers for today?
Imprecatory prayers. My, how many people that one has got steamed up and it's tripped them up, and so many people, especially liberals, want to make the existence of imprecatory prayers in the Old Testament a reason to make the Old Testament inferior morally to the New, and say that, they have no place whatsoever in the life of the church. They have no place in the life of most churches, because most churches have little or no life in them for a start, spiritual life and spiritual knowledge. Imprecatory prayers are, first of all, remember, given by divine inspiration to men who were by appointment prophets of God. They had therefore a prophetic content, so that they were not merely outbursts of personal venom or personal desire, but were actually statements of the will of God, declaring what would happen to the people against whom they were directed. Now, how do we reconcile that with the New Testament command to love your enemies? Very, very simply. It is always wrong. It was always wrong, Old Testament or New, to direct imprecatory, vengeful thoughts or prayers against our enemies. That's not what imprecatory prayers are all about. The psalmist David said, have I not hated them, that is, God's enemies, with a perfect hatred? Now, it's one thing for me to love my enemies. It's quite another thing to love God's enemies. And in this connection, it's not just talking about sinners in general. It's talking about those who have become willing tools of Satan for the destruction of God's work and God's name and God's glory. David could hate those people, not his enemies, but God's enemies. And he could hate them with a perfect hatred. Now, against God's enemies, imprecations were in order. Against personal enemies, they were not. Does that have any place in the church today? Well, we've got to be careful about identifying God's enemies. And we've got to be careful never to assume that because somebody has made himself an enemy of us, that therefore he must be in that category of being God's enemy. Those are things we've got to be careful about. But when we're dealing with apostates, is it wrong to pray that God will judge them and deal with them? No, it's not. Did you ever read Matthew chapter 23? The words of the Lord Jesus? When he pronounced his woes upon the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites? Were those not equivalent to mighty imprecations straight from the lips of him whose name is love? When we're dealing with vicious apostates who are determined to overthrow the cause of God, of grace, and of truth, then it is in order to pray that God will overthrow them, even as the psalmist prayed that he would overthrow God's enemies in his day.
God's word has life's secret, its wisdom imparts to all who will seek it, rejoicing their hearts.
The matter's conclusion, the duty of man, fear God and his statutes, obey his demands.
The fear of the beginning of wisdom, the fountain that flows, his blessing and honor and comfort bestows. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, it's clean and enduring, it's promise ensuring, God's confidence during my days.
The fear of the Lord,
the fear of the Lord.
Receive godly wisdom and listen to gold. Apply understanding and watch it unfold. Oh, cry after knowledge, oh, lift up your voice. Seek wisdom as silver so you may rejoice. The fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, it's the beginning of wisdom, the fountain that flows, it blessing and honor and comfort bestows.
The fear,
the fear of the Lord,
the fear
of the Lord, it's clean and enduring, it's promise ensuring, God's confidence during my days. The fear of the Lord, 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 the fear of the
One of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible, This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. Our speaker for today is the Reverend Armin Tamassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, we're featuring messages from a series he preached from Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Today, he continues a message entitled, True Preaching Makes a Difference. Now, here is the Reverend Armin Tamassian.
You cannot be satisfied merely coming and sitting and saying, nice message, nice sermon. There needs to be a hunger for the supernatural. A hunger that is born before God in prayer, that is brought as a burden before God in prayer, where you're seeking God, give us your help, Lord. Give us your power. Give us that which you have promised. We need to have that experience of God coming down, the rending of the heavens, as it were. The visitation of God, where God comes. I know it will not be like the priests experienced at the dedication of the temple. And such was the presence of God. And the whole presence of God kept the priests from even coming in to the building. But God was an unusual, it's not normative, but he's establishing something there, isn't he? He's establishing the fact that in this place his presence is to be known. And such is his presence that it can be felt and known and experienced. You say, God is there. God is there. Now, if you've never sat in meetings like that, all the more you need to beg God that you experience them. And if you're older and more mature in your years and you have sat in meeting after meeting like that in the past, covet it again, at least for your children and your children's children. They would know what it's like to be confronted with God. Not just word only, but power. A.W. Tozer, American preacher, he's passed on, he's in glory now, but he said this: there is today no lack of Bible teachers to set forth correctly the principles of the doctrines of Christ. But too many of these seem satisfied to teach the fundamentals of the faith year after year, strangely unaware that there is in their ministry no manifest presence nor anything unusual in their personal lives. They minister constantly to believers who feel within their breasts a longing which their teaching simply does not satisfy. I trust I speak in charity. But the lack in our pulpits is real. End quote. And it's even more real today. There is an authority in true preaching that is easier to discern than it is to define. But it is absolutely essential. Preaching should not just be heard, it ought to be felt. Felt in the preacher and felt in the hearer. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. We communicated the gospel. Paul knew the gospel. Paul went into cities, into villages, into towns, and he preached the word. He knew exactly what to say. But he was able to testify on this occasion, when we were with you, it came not merely as words. I think the word of God is very clear in how it describes itself, and therefore what we conclude should be the impact of the word when it truly comes home to the heart. Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Or in the New Testament, Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is quick," that means it's alive, it's living, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, the Spirit of God describes the word of God like fire, like a hammer, and like a sword. And as I have said in the past, if you come into contact with any of those things, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel a hammer, you're going to feel a fire, you're going to feel a sword. And the Spirit of God describes the word in that way, in these ways, so that we understand that it's something that impacts. Fire burns. It doesn't leave things the same, except in the miraculous where God is in the burning bush. But it actually burns. It consumes dross. It deals with sin. And a sword, it cuts and it divides. And a hammer smashes and destroys. And this is what the Word of God should do. Beloved, I say to you, we need to be praying about this as a matter of utmost importance. Our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power. Thirdly, a person is ascertained in true preaching. A person is ascertained. Not only do we see that the practice of preaching and the power that attends true preaching, but a person is ascertained in true preaching. And in the Holy Ghost, not only in power, but in the Holy Ghost, Paul testifies that he was not only aware of power, but the source of that power, the Holy Ghost. Often when we talk about the presence of God, when I say we, I mean the church, generally, broadly, we talk about the presence of God, and really all it is an emotional response to various forms of manipulation, psychological manipulation. Music, lights, language of the kind of neuro-linguistic programming. It's all going on in the church today. You see, we have understood that we have become so pragmatic in the church. We will get results by hook or by crook. And so even in some churches, they will have, you know, the appeals to come forward, and they will have certain individuals in the pews, and they get up, and they go forward, or they put up their hands, or whatever, and that's designed to psychologically impact others so they feel comfortable in doing the same. They're not putting their hand up because they need to be saved. They're not going forward because they need to be saved. They're doing it to try and manipulate those around them. It's going on. Church building 101 today. God have mercy on us. All Paul needed and longed for was the presence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. That as he preached the word, the Spirit of God would very evidently be there. Many of our hymns, they express this desire, don't they? The Holy Spirit to come. By Holy Spirit, Lord alone can turn our hearts from sin. His power alone can sanctify and keep us pure within. O Spirit of faith and love, come in our hearts, we pray. And so on and so forth. There's this longing for the Spirit of God. There was a generation, there have been generations that understood this. And we understand it. Many of us, we know it. Deep down we know it. It's the Holy Ghost. And when you come on a Wednesday night, you hear it prayed for. It needs to be prayed for even more. It needs to be more of a burden for it. It needs to be more of a longing for it. More repetition and asking for it. But it's still there, thank the Lord. On a Saturday morning, the same thing. The need for the Spirit of God to come. Paul understood this was the only thing that was necessary. The Holy Spirit comes. He testified again to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see how those two things are married, power and the Holy Ghost? In the midst of the Great Awakening in 1741, and Jonathan Edwards, perhaps the greatest theologian born in this part of the world, he accepted an invitation to preach at a neighboring town, Enfield in Connecticut. His text, as many of you are well aware, Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, their feet shall slide in due time. Their feet shall slide in due time. He took that as his text and preached what is now famously known as the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He preached that message that day, and such was the impact of the preaching that people began to weep under conviction and hold on to the pews in front of them for fear of falling into hell. Such was their sense of being lost and under the judgment of God. That was not the only time he ever preached that sermon. He preached it on other occasions as well. It never had the same impact that it had that day. When John Livingston, a young preacher in Scotland, preached in 1630, a Monday following the communion season, in the church at Shotts in Scotland, again the Lord gave him unusual help. And the testimony, one of the testimonies of what happened on that occasion, are recorded in the following words. I can speak on sure grounds that about 500 had at that time a discernible change wrought in them, of whom most proved lively Christians. 500 responded to one sermon. Now, this is the unusual. These are kind of more recent history, Day of Pentecost kind of experiences. But there's some here today, this morning, and you know what it's like to sit in a meeting where God is so felt and so known and His power is so manifest, and you can say the Spirit of God is there and was there, and you remember it to this day. It's etched in your memory. The Spirit of God was there. You know it. And the evidence of it was to be seen in the response of lives and hearts giving themselves to Christ. Backsliders getting right with the Lord, and men and women and boys and girls getting saved. These may be extraordinary circumstances, some of these things in history that we read. As I say, we can know it, even if it's not just as dramatic as what we have read of. Is God being ascertained in our services? Is he? To what degree do we want that to be the case? I tell you, beloved, very bluntly, if we are prepared to go on without it, we shall. If we are prepared for God to not be here, dealing with hearts, saving souls, restoring backsliders, moving in lives and transforming families, if we're prepared for it not, if we're prepared to accept it not going on, it will not. The Lord longs to be desired and sought. And there is no doubt that He has withdrawn somewhat in the manifestation of His power in His church in these days. But that is not to discourage us. That is to encourage us to seek Him as we have in the past.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.